This is the story of you, the story that has shaped your day or maybe your entire life, where your story becomes our story, because without you, there is no me, and no me without you. Tune in each week as we share stories of life, yours and mine. Each episode will feature a special guest who shares with us their own truth. Join us as we uncover just how unique and similar we all are. This is the story of you and of me. I'm Donna Politis, your host. Welcome to My Spoken Truth. Welcome to My Spoken Truth, Episode 2. This week I speak with Laura Worf, fitness and wellness expert. Laura and I discuss her seven essential elements to wellness and balance, how she came to be in the wellness industry, how she finds balance and what she recommends for you, and how she discovered her passion to teach yoga and help people uncover their dharma. It's going to be a great talk. Hi, Laura. Welcome to My Spoken Truth.
Thank you. Hello.
I wanted to bring you on to episode 2 because, Laura, you've got a lot of wisdom to share in terms of finding and maintaining balance. There are elements to your practice and to your work. You call them the seven elements. And I'd love to hear about that. And I'd love to first and foremost hear about Laura Worf Wellness and what that is and the types of work that you do. And we'll also get into, at some point in our conversation, what brought you into this work. I know I would love to hear that story, and I'm sure our listeners would love to know what is the course of action or actions that brought you into where you are today. And that might help guide others who are either in a place in life where they're determining what choices to make and how to fulfill their deeper calling, how to fulfill their purpose. So maybe start with where you're at now and what your business is now, and then we can retrace the steps.
Okay, well, I'm really happy to share this, and it's been a fun and interesting journey so far. I'm focusing very much right now on the wellness aspect, which, when you talk about lifestyle balance, I think that it's important to have a holistic approach, and a holistic approach to well-being includes many different elements. And this is where I have started to define over the last little while of what those essential elements to well-being really are. And I've been working in the fitness and wellness world now for 23 years. Time flies when you're having fun. And I grew up really within the whole fitness realm. So my footprint into the wellness industry was really through the fitness industry, having worked as a club fitness manager, having worked as a personal trainer, as a lifestyle coach also, and a yoga teacher. So I've been teaching yoga for the last 15 years, and I think that's probably what I feel here today as being even more of my calling, because I find the whole yoga philosophy very holistic in its approach. So for myself, in terms of lifestyle balance, yes, the physical is always there. So for me, it's moved very much from more of the weight training, more of the high impact type activities, to now being a little bit more intrinsic. I find now my connection to nature is very important. So going for a hike with my dog in nature, taking walks outdoors, being outside, which is really one of my elements to well-being, because I think the connection to nature outdoors helps us connect with our own true nature within.
I can really resonate with that. The last few years I've been in the suburbs, spending a lot of time from home to car, to the studio, to the car, back to home, and not much time spent in nature, although I do carve out hours on the weekend. And that's my sanctuary time to either walk by the lake or go into a forest. And just to have that direct contact with a natural element, whether it's the earth or a tree or the leaves on a tree or water, makes a huge difference and it grounds you. Can you tell us about that effect of grounding, or I think what some people are calling earthing? How does that work, and how can someone tap into that on a daily basis? How can they recharge or rebalance their energy communicating with nature?
Well, there's lots of different ways to do that. You mentioned earthing, which means connecting with the earth with bare feet. So that helps balance out positive, negative ions within our body, just connecting with that earth energy, where we can call that rooting as well. And there's two things I want to address here. We talk a lot about rooting or grounding, and I focused on that for quite a while. And there was a teacher that brought up a different point to me. Instead of saying be more grounded, where I find that, you know, a lot of us are very grounded, regardless of whether we spend too much time in our heads, which sometimes takes us out of our bodies and out of really feeling that true wisdom that's trying to speak to us from moment to moment. It's more about centering, I think, coming back into our center. And so by connecting with nature, that is one way that really allows us to come into our place of center. And that is the place where we feel the most peace, the most stillness within. And when we're in that space of peace, when we're truly accessing this present moment, because let's face it, we're oscillating between future thoughts of what we have to do later in our to-do lists, and oscillating also between past thoughts of what we've done, conversations that we've had, and replaying things in our mind, which consumes a lot of energy when we spend too much time in our heads. And society is promoting that right now because of the high, fast pace, but it's also leading to physical symptoms that lead towards burnout. Mm. So by connecting to nature, even if it's just a few minutes in a day, to give you an example, on November 11th, which passed recently, Remembrance Day, I went down to the lake. We've moved into the beach area here in Toronto, which is beautiful, and it's 2 minutes away from the water. So I went to watch the sunrise that morning, and it was a beautiful, red, luminous sunrise that was so powerful that I just took the time to stand there with my heart facing the sunrise and my palms wide open and taking a few deep breaths as though I was breathing in the luminosity, the strength, the power of that sunrise into my own energetic field so that I could feel that same brilliance and that same luminosity and that same light so that we can share that light with everybody else that's around us in our interactions in a day. So just those, I would say, maybe 4 or 5 minutes of me breathing in, acknowledging and observing the beauty of the sunrise filled me up where I felt this expansive feeling through my heart and this peace come over me. And that carried me through my entire day into everything else that I did. So that's what centering really is, or of that feeling of groundedness, that feeling of that connection with the earth and with nature. And it really only takes a few minutes.
Well, as you were speaking, I was watching the movement of your hands. And what I noticed was when you were speaking about the current state of our society, in fact, I just got off the phone with one of my family members, and she said, oh, by the time I was 24, I had 3 kids and I was running around. She said, I know how busy you are now. And I said, you know what? Your time was actually simpler. And I might have people disagreeing with me right now, but I'm coming at this from the front of emails, text messages, all modes of communication were bombarded 24 hours a day. Whereas in another time or in another space, we remove these obstacles or we remove these modes of communication and it presents us with more space. So when you were talking about the busyness of society right now, your hands were in front of your solar plexus and you mentioned that all of this this commotion that we're going through can present itself in physical symptoms. And I thought right away, oh, how about all those digestive issues that so many of us are going through? And then when you were speaking about your experiences by the lake, your hands automatically went up to the heart space and your palms were open and your entire face changed. So even the act and the physical act of remembering a peaceful situation brings you back. I noticed it in you. I was watching all the physical responses. Your voice slowed down, your face relaxed, your eyes closed, your hands went up to your heart space. So I'm noticing that in you. You practice this on a daily basis. I can just imagine someone that this is new to, They go, they spend a few minutes in nature. They remember that sunrise, or they remember that walk down to the lake at a time when things are a little bit more flustered and chaotic. They can feel that same sense of peace, so they can simply relive it. Mm-hmm. Much like an athlete that's envisioning that final goal or getting the winning shot. They're practicing that in their mind. They're there already. Whether or not it happens, it's created new neural pathways in them that they can grab onto at any given time. So we create that when we practice yoga or meditation. I always tell my clients that we're preparing ourselves for those stressful times. Practice your shavasana or your corpse pose, lying down. For those that don't practice yoga, the lying down pose at the end, the part that everyone looks forward to, practice that now in your yoga practice so that when stress arises, you've already trained your body to access the parasympathetic nervous system. You've trained your body to take a moment and pause and breathe before you react. That was my lesson in class yesterday. Let's pause, breathe, and then move instead of, boom, react. Mm-hmm. So that's what I gathered from what you shared. And what I'd love to know next is how does Laura find balance? And I kind of know this already because I've known you for a few years and you were a part of my early days of yoga teacher training. And I remember something that I resonated with you was that you thrive when you have a few projects on the go. And I think your magic number is 3. I think mine is 2. Right now I probably have about 7 projects on the go, so I need to put a few on pause. Can you tell us about that? How does someone find that magic number? How does someone know how much is too stimulating and how much is not helping them access their vision or their truth? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm definitely somebody who needs projects. I'm a project girl. I'm not a 9-to-5 girl that can sit at a desk all day. That I've discovered over time. And I rely very much on my body talk. So what is my body telling me? So if I feel tense, if I feel anxious, if I'm feeling symptoms of stress consistently, it means that something is out of alignment for me. And authenticity is really one of my values. So when you spoke before about the lessons that we learn on the yoga mat, there are so many lessons that we learn on our yoga mat in our practice. Regardless if our practice one day is very restorative, very relaxing, or if it's very energizing and flowing, I think the authenticity of the yoga practice is what we feel and what the information that we access within our bodies and our minds and our hearts on the yoga mat. It's important to transfer that into the real world where it counts. So oftentimes, without being in the thinking mind, because yoga is about calming the fluctuations of the mind, there are sometimes insights or just little flashes or feelings that come through for me in yoga. And those are little messages. When I feel my heart expand, when I feel the sense of, this just sense of relaxation or peace that washes over me, that's a message for me saying, yes, this is the path to follow. And so when I'm choosing projects, I want to resonate with those same kind of feelings, and it's important for me to network and to align with like-minded individuals who have similar goals, similar values especially, and similar, I guess, drives and dreams to want to create a better world. And so I think if I come back also to what my priorities are and what my truth is, obviously, my truth is to maintain my balance, so the right amount of exercise, fueling my body with the right nutrition for me, being in nature, communing with my family and my friends, that's what really helps keep me grounded as well, helps me also connect with what projects are close to my heart. So obviously, I know I'm a teacher at heart, so teaching for me is really important, and I do that through my yoga classes, through the conferences that I offer at different conventions and different workshops and my day-to-day interactions with people, always feeling like, how can I help lead this world to improving or even just elevating the conscious awareness? Because the more aware we are, the more conscious we are, the more our day-to-day interactions are going to be more flowing and less conflictual and less from a place of reactivity and more activity. So when you said before, 3 is my magic number, there's this fine line between not having too much to do and having not enough to do. Because I think that, I know for me, if I don't have enough on the go, I tend to waste time. Whereas when I'm busier, I'm more productive. So, but then there's that fine line with stepping over, being too productive, and then forgetting about really taking care of me. And I know that when I'm right now, I'm in a space where I'm feeling very balanced and well, I'm feeling relaxed, I'm feeling clear. So now it's time to now share that and pay it forward to help others find their magic formula to be well. And we all have different formulas. It's not a cookie cutter approach.
Absolutely. So you shared in our pre-talk before I pressed record that there are seven elements to the way you approach life and how you coach your clients. Can you share with us just briefly, because if people want more, they can contact you. They can visit your website, your Facebook. You're actually quite active in the cyber realm, so people can get a hold of you. For now, give us a little taste of what those seven elements are and how we can find balance using these elements.
Well, seven elements to well-being for me is, as I mentioned, the physical. So what are my physical activities? And I look at this during the week because it cannot be obsessive. When we start obsessing over something, then we're creating more of a stressful response in the body. And I just wanted to add one thing to that you mentioned before, because sometimes we feel that we're living in this chaotic world. And when we say that world, that word, it's actually resonating inside of our hearts. And it's what we call coming into a space of cardiac coherence. So when we're in this space of go, go, go all the time and this constant activity and in our minds creating this pressure of getting things done, or if we've had an altercation with somebody that we care about, or if somebody cut you off on the road and that upsets you, it creates a physical response within the body that creates what we call cardiac chaos. So if you were to look at a graph, if your heart was connected with an electrocardiogram, we would see these spiky peaks on the graph when we're in that kind of a stressful state. Well, we have control to bring ourselves into what we call cardiac coherence. Just by taking two deep abdominal breaths activates our parasympathetic nervous system, which is like our physiological brake and slows us down. So the physical that we choose, coming back to our elements, helps us come back into that state of, ah, I feel good. I feel more calm. I feel more centered to be able to do what I do in a day from a space of empowerment. So choosing your activity is important. Like I said earlier, I love hiking. I love biking. The yoga is not just the physical for me. It's much more than that. It's also very deep connected spiritual practice, which also calms the mind. It's all encompassing. That's part of my day. Functional fitness also, keeping my body strong to do my day-to-day activities with greater ease. So really it's finding your flow. The physical is that one element. Second element being nutrition, purifying your body with whole foods as much as possible. So staying away from high processed foods, because oftentimes the foods that we're eating will have a direct correlation to our moods and how we feel. So if you're feeling sluggish or low energy or irritable or having mood disorders, take a look at your diet. Oftentimes the sugar, the caffeine, the alcohol, and processed foods create this agitation state within the body. So by eating whole foods, whole grains and fresh vegetables and fruits and even lean meats and lean dairy, if those are choices as part of your diet, making sure that the diet is well balanced.
Laura, that is an amazing point to bring up, because oftentimes we all hear the diagnoses and the words anxiety and depression, and these are becoming really key buzzwords right now. And I think it's so great that they're coming to the forefront and that we're acknowledging that these are aspects of ourselves that we all go through to some degree, whether it's a depressive episode that lasts a few weeks or a few months or sometimes years. Like you, I came at this fitness world or this wellness world from the fitness aspect. I started to work out at a gym, had a trainer, was developing my personal fitness and programs for fitness competitions, and I was really into bodybuilding. And once I got into that world, it was the working out, it was the healthy eating, and somehow, magically, my mental emotional state started balancing out as well. So it wasn't just me dropping 40 pounds, and building muscle. It was Donna creating this well-rounded, balanced lifestyle from all components, what you spoke about, the deep breathing. I remember I used to do my bicep curls and link it up with my breath. That was my yoga. Mm-hmm. Looking back now, I was doing yoga in the gym with my bicep curls, for instance, and my leg presses. And so I look back fondly on those days because I was incorporating breath work. Mm. So training the parasympathetic nervous system and then eating healthy and so on, getting adequate amounts of sleep. So just by choosing even one healthy lifestyle choice or one thing that interests somebody, they want to run a marathon or they want to run a 5K or they want to get a dog and start exercising and walking that dog, that will ripple effect into all aspects of their lives if they let it. I think surrender and allowing is a big part of that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with you on that. And it's also choosing one thing at a time and not trying to change your whole lifestyle all at once, because any change within our lifestyle is also some form of a stress, right? I mean, when you change your diet, your body has to adapt. When you change your exercise program, your body has to have time to adapt. So those are definitely two elements that are really important. And the nature we already talked about, the family and friends is a big one as well. Mm. You know, taking time to disconnect from your regular day to day and just let loose with the people that care about you and have a little fun. And that leads me into the playtime. You know, infusing a little bit of play into your day where you can laugh and think back to when you were a young child and you just were able to let loose, whether it was running down a hill and doing roly-polies down the hill or somersaults, or for me, it's playing with my dog every day. You know, we do all kinds of silly things together and it just lets me belly laugh sometimes, which really feels good. And that's really therapeutic.
Absolutely.
So it's choosing one of these things within your week. It doesn't have to be these seven elements all in one week, but they're lifestyle choices that helped us restore that balance and that genuine feeling of joy and happiness within. Because happiness is not something that we can search outside of ourselves. When we're searching to be happy, and there's tons of research being done now, books written on happiness, it's the more we search outside of ourselves, the more suffering we're going to feel. You know, and those are words that come from a great yoga teacher that I've studied with. And it's really about just reconnecting within and what's my flow? What makes me feel good? So I invite people to explore their nutrition, explore their exercise, explore their playtime, explore time in nature, explore who are the people that raise them up and not people that bring them down, you know, so that the activities that we choose, and it really is, lifestyle is their choices. What are things that make me feel good and not what are things that bring me down? And so when we really listen to our body talk, the feelings that we feel inside, our bodies and our feelings and our emotions will tell us if we're on the right track or not. It's learning to tune in.
That is amazing, amazing wisdom. And before we leave this conversation, I wanted to get a glimpse into how you became who you are now. So a little backtrack of what are the things that led you to this current phase in your life? Maybe some key elements or phases or events or happenings or just knowings. You know, it could be, like you said, the body talk that led you to know this is what I need to be doing now in order to serve.
Well, I think I'm grateful and also very fortunate to have been well surrounded from the beginning of my days. You know, I have two extremely supportive parents who have always had my back. My grandmother, who was probably my biggest fan and supporter up until the age of 106, and I just lost my granny 2 years ago, so anybody that knows me knows that I've always shared my stories about my granny. So I've always been somebody who is active, and like you, I started in the fitness industry. So from being a young age in elementary school, high school, participating in a lot of sports, I had the key people around me and family, friends who guided me into the fitness world. You know, when I was 15, I worked for one of our neighbors. Penny Lavois is one of my mentors from very young, and I worked as a babysitter in her aerobic studio at the time, and that's kind of how I started in the industry. And then from there, working in a gym as a part-time floor trainer, and from there, meeting a teacher in college where I took weight training courses, and I realized how much I loved that. And then that's what led me to applying to McGill University in Montreal and doing my fitness education degree in kinesiology. And from there, meeting other people who guided me along my path. And when I graduated, I became a fitness director for a fitness center in the West Island of Montreal. And I stayed there for 10 years. And another large club, Good Life Fitness, bought it out at the time. And then I became manager. I managed the fitness club for 4 years, then worked up to regional manager for 3 of the Good Life clubs in the Montreal area. So you see, it just kind of always just being in that environment and meeting the right people and just being having this willingness to learn. And the passion, I think, is what has always driven me to want to network with other people, wanting to learn, to grow and to evolve and being at the right place at the right time and having an open attitude. And even in my yoga classes, I've met some really key people, which led me to being an editor for a fitness magazine also for 4 years. Beyond Fitness was one of my babies for a while. And then from there, I think that's probably the pivotal moment where I started teaching yoga more and more and attending. I've attended the Kripalu Center in Lenox, Massachusetts for 15 years, every single year going for continuing education and meeting other teachers. And those teachers started to shape my practice a little bit differently. And I met a few really key teachers who became my teacher of heart that I did my teacher trainings with. But before I did a full teacher training, I explored a lot through yoga conferences and doing a lot of workshops, learning different methods, different styles that existed, and found really what resonated for me. And I think, you know, I've moved away from it for a few years, but I've always been brought back. And I find right now is probably where I feel that this path truly is my calling. So moving probably more away from the fitness into the spiritual realm and assisting people to find what their true dharma is, which our Sva Dharma is our self-purpose. So we are all here on this planet to do something, and it's to discover what our unique talents are, what our gifts are. And when we start to discover what those things are and to explore them more deeply, other doors start to open. So I feel for me right now, there's other doors that are starting to open, and I'm very willing to walk through them as much as there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of different energies that come up with the unknown of walking this path more than a path that I've known for the last over 20 years. But there's just this deep inner knowing when I stick with my own spiritual practice of my meditation, my yoga, my communing with nature, that helps me just confirm that what I'm doing right here, right now, in my teachings and in my own learnings, because I think we always have to remain students of life, will guide me along this new path that is now unfolding before my eyes. So we could sit here a year from now and it may be a totally different conversation, but I know that I'm walking into something, transitioning into something new right now.
Well, we're always changing, and being open to that change helps to facilitate our growth. So where we're at now, it doesn't remain static, and everyone will change in every moment. It's whether or not we're resisting that change or open to it.
Big word, yes, yeah. Resistance.
So
the art of letting go
and surrendering and allowing, that is a big part of
easy to say
our practice. Yeah. So, you know, this program is meant to help facilitate conversation. And even when I've approached a few people that I want to be on this show, I've sometimes used the word interview. And that's not what it is at all. It's about creating conversation and giving a platform to hear different people's truths. And like you said, this truth might shift and change a year from now, but this is the current truth now that's going to lead you into the next phase or next truth in a year. So honoring that, and by exposing our truth, yours and mine, we help other people start to fill in the gaps of where they're at in their life and where they might become more whole. So instead of searching, like you said, outside, and there's lots of great books out there, and it's not to say don't read those books, read them, gain some wisdom, go within and ask yourself, listen to that body talk. What is right for me and what can allow me to feel whole and complete as I am now? Maybe it's shedding some relationships. Maybe it's changing career. Maybe it's not even anything that drastic. Maybe it's tiny little lifestyle changes here and there that will start to make that ripple effect out. Mm-hmm. Whatever it is, my purpose is to help facilitate everyone's growth and open up to that more divine presence that's already within. We just need to scrub off the dirt.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? If I can just share, because you made me think of a quote that a great yoga teacher in LA, Eric Schiffman, said years ago, that yoga is about moving into stillness to discover the truths of who you are, and then having the courage to act on those truths and to follow that path.
Amazing. Great closing thought. Thank you so much, Laura. This was fabulous to hear you speak.
Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. Namaste.
Namaste. So I will be posting Laura's website information for now. You can go to www.laurawarf.com, LauraWarf.com. And Laura is also on Facebook. And where else can they find you?
My Facebook page, LauraWarfWellness.com. You can like that page. My personal page is Laura Warf, also on LinkedIn under Laura Warf. Twitter also. I have to get better at using the Twitter.
Perfect. So just Google Laura Warf and you'll find her.
Thank you.
Thanks again. You've been listening to My Spoken Truth. I'm your host, Donna Politis. Join me next week as I chat with Philip Ames, psychotherapist. It's going to be a great talk and you're going to want to take notes. Until then, stay in touch with me on Facebook at My Spoken Truth. Our website is coming soon, myspokentruth.com. Have a great week and I'll see you soon.